Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Monday, but it is Tuesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Sunday morning, so you can look for a new one of them popping up there tomorrow morning. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could link that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, now, you know, Dan, you know, we talked a little bit last week so I could vent about the fact that some idiots voted Mike Trout as a MVP, even though, you know, the Angels stink and he's clearly not having the best year. I found a poll today on Cy Young in each league, and oddly, I had wrote about it last Saturday. If you happen to check out the blog, I don't know how many people who listen actually do both. I realized so that's just one I guess I have to deal with. And even if I send the link to Mr. Fantasy, I think it goes like the expand folder, so I don't even know we have a website, but that's a different story. So I found it interesting, again, back on the MVP real quick, they had an interview with Ken Rosenthal. You know, he does those in-game drop-ins when he's doing games on Fox Sports 1 and stuff. And oddly, one of the things he mentioned, just to make sure they got the point across, was the fact that award voters now no longer consider a team's record when they're casting their ballots. It's interesting that that comes up now, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you know, the case, they won't go that way when it's Nolan Arenado, though.
So I just thought it was funny because, you know, for years it's been, you know, like you can go back to when Andre Dawson won the MVP and the Cubs were in last place. He clearly was the best player in the league, but they didn't want to give him the award because the Cubs were in last place. You know, I mean, I think Ernie Banks won one while the Cubs were in last place. I thought A-Rod won one while he was a Ranger and they were like the worst team in baseball. So it's humorous that, you know, this has been an issue for so long until Mike Trout comes along and we got to find a reason to give him the MVP because there's no way in hell the Angels are getting in the playoffs. So, but yeah, humorously, Dan, they actually agreed with me on one of my choices. You know, on Saturday, I just said, well, at this point in time, I'd give it to this person or that person. So who did you, I'll give you a guess here in the National League. Who's your Cy Young Award winner in the National League?
Max Scherzer.
So, yeah, I thought that one was pretty obvious. They have Scherzer winning pretty comfortably over Jacob deGrom and Aaron Nola, and then Zach Greinke is the fourth guy getting some votes there. You know, their American League one I was a little surprised by, but who you got in the AL?
Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. No, that was after the first week of the season. They actually went with Chris Sale, which I thought was rather interesting. Dustin Verlander second, Trevor Bauer third, and then they have Garrett Cole, Corey Kluber, Luis Severino, and Blake Snell mixed in as other guys who had votes. I actually had Severino winning the award, and I had Kluber ahead of Bauer. So I'm much different than they are. Obviously there's a ton of time for these guys to make a difference. But yeah, you know, Dan, I guess I'm a little surprised sails up here because, you know, he just missed a couple weeks and a couple starts. I know he's scheduled to come back, I think it's Sunday, but wouldn't you have thought that would have affected the voting a little bit, or are we just kind of getting this thing where that's like, well, look, hey, there's this East Coast guy having a good year?
I think that's part of it, you know, now that he doesn't pitch in the lights.
Oh, you faded a little bit there. Is your Bluetooth fading, or what happened?
No, I think it's fading. I think that's pretty much the consensus.
So because you know, when you kind of look at the guys, I mean, before the National League, I mean, DeGrom is probably having the best year, but it's the fact that I think he's 6-7, and, you know, again, he's on a terrible team. So it just makes it really difficult. While he'll probably end up on a lot of guys' ballots, I don't think he's going to get enough to win them. So, you know, that it'll be kind of interesting to see how that shakes out. And, you know, I don't know. Yeah, the American League is just kind of, you know, it's such a hodgepodge for me right now that I really, you could put a lot of names in the hat and pull one out, and that would be the winner, couldn't you?
Pretty much.
So, I just, yeah, you know, I mean, because, you know, like, I don't have any problem with this like I did the MVP, because the MVP was just stupid. You know, I mean, Sale, Verlander, Bauer, even the guys that they just, you know, the other receiving votes guys, you know, Cole, Kluber, Severino. You know, I probably have a problem with Blake Snell won because he missed a big chunk of time. But, again, he'll get some votes. So, yeah, I don't know, just kind of strange how they shook that out. I just thought it was weird to know. You know, and I'm sure I'll get to complain about it when they actually do vote, right?
Oh yeah.
Well, that'll be fun for me. I always enjoy doing that. But yeah, now did we have one early game? Or did we have two? I thought we had two, didn't we?
I thought some of them were in rain.
Ah, here we go. I found it. Yeah, apparently, but we had Nationals did go on to beat the Braves 8-3, and then the other early game, which looks like it's up just about over, it's in the bottom of the ninth. The Astros are beating the Giants 2-1. I know Madison Bumgarner had a really good start, but the Giants didn't score for him. I don't know off the top of my head who the Houston starter was, because I have to slide in here and check real quick, because obviously if Bumgarner had a good start, this guy must have had a better start, because they
What was it, Verlander?
It wasn't? Oh, no, do you have him?
Yeah.
Come on. It's raining out, so my internet is a little funky. So, you know how that
Keuchel.
Goes. Was it? Oh, okay. Yeah, here's how good my internet's working, Dan. I got half a box score right now. So, hey, all right. Ah, there we go. It finally caught up. Yeah, Keuchel went 6, only gave up the 1 run and 3 hits. So, and Hector Rondon is in to close it out. So, there you go.
Good for him.
So, oh, yeah, wow, Bumgarner didn't even give up a run. I didn't realize that. It was the bullpen. Ty Black gave up a couple. So, he's looks like Bumgarner's kind of slowly rounding into form, huh, after the injuries?
Yeah, I mean, 7 scoreless innings, so he's kind of getting back on track. Just too bad the bullpen couldn't keep it intact for him.
Yeah, I guess it's a good thing they didn't listen to the idiots and deal him for prospects, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're supposed to rebuild, right?
Yeah. So, you know, even though the fact that he's not even close to pushing 30, right? We want to deal him off and make, you know, we get our maximum prospects for him and back to home for the remainder of his career. So that's a move. Dude, I don't know. It just makes me crazy. What do you do, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, if you're not in the first, you're supposed to rebuild.
Yeah, so, I did see that, 2018 is going to be a complete wash for Jacob Ellsbury. He's going to have hip surgery. He hasn't played at all this season. This is kind of interesting, Dan. You know, this is one of the, I guess you would call, old Yankee contracts. He's making a little over $21 million this year. He signed for two more years at the same salary, plus an option for 2021 at $21 million. I assume when he gets there, whoever would buy him out for $5 million. What do you do with this guy?
I mean, can he trade him? Will the Red Sox take him back?
Would anybody take him? You know, I remember before the season started, there were some rumors that the Cubs were interested, because they thought they needed kind of a full-time center fielder. But, you know, obviously he's not that. With the injuries and stuff, I mean, can he play the outfield on a full-time basis?
Not really. And with the amount of guys they have on their team, do they really need him even for a DH spot?
Yeah, and here, this is odd. I've never heard of this one, Dan. You know, originally it was a heel injury that's kept him out all this long. He was diagnosed with plantar fasciitis. Oh, no, it's and a hip injury. I thought they said of the hip. I was like, what the hell is plantar fasciitis of the hip? But no, it looks like it's two different injuries for Ellsbury. He hasn't been some of the, you know, he was much better as a Red Sox. But yeah, now what the hell do they do with them? I mean, can they buy him out or something like that? I don't even know anymore at this point.
Well, I mean, didn't you have his contract in front of you?
Yeah. Is there a way they can, I thought you would know with the CBA, is there a way they can come to some kind of terms on the buyout for those last 2 years? I mean, we're talking $42 million.
No, I mean, think about the A-Rod deal. They were stuck still paying him. I don't, you know, are they still paying him now, you wonder?
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, I know, you know, Ellsbury's had a good career, and he's made, it looked like, a little over $126 million in his career. So you would like to think financially that, but, you know, that's still, I'm not walking away from that money. You know, I'm not trying to deal with that money.
Yeah, no, I mean, it looks like right here, I pulled up A-Rod contract, and, they have 16 and 17. It's just dead money, you know. $20 million per year with the $1 million signing bonus. And I know he, you know, played like three games in Miami, but, once the season last year ended, they were obviously out from under that contract.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, you look at the Yankees, and obviously, you know, Brett Gardner, well, you know, he's not hitting great, but he's played really well for them, you know, through his career. You know, somewhere along the line, Judge is going to be the right fielder. Stanton only plays part-time. But sooner or later, don't you got to figure out if Clint Frazier is an everyday major league outfielder?
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you would think he's ready for that. You know, but like you said, he's got a full no-trade clause. And then,
oh, wow.
You know, it looks like they're on the hook for 2019 and 2020.
Wow!
You know, and they could do the full buyout in 2021. You know, their best bet is hoping, you know, is releasing him. and hoping someone picks them up. They can take on some of that money.
Huh. So yeah, that's just
because you know, I mean, 2022, he's considered a full free agent, and at the age of 38, I don't see anybody going signing him to any contracts.
No, yeah. Yeah, there's no way he gets another deal from this from anybody unless it's, you know, unless he's willing to take a, you know, he signs one of those deals where he's invited to spring training. He's on like the minimum. So. But yeah, I don't know. Just kind of a weird.
You know, and he's number three on their salary list.
Oh, is he? Wow.
Yeah.
So who's
the other? I mean, it's Giancarlo, of course, and then Tanaka.
Oh, well, yeah, I forgot Tanaka makes that much money. So.
Yeah. No, Tanaka's got 2019 and 2020, and he's a free agent. A free agent, right after that. I mean, you know, after Ellsbury is Chapman at 17 million, but you know, other than that, I mean, you know, J.A. Happ is at 13 million on the DL, and then you've got Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez and Gleyber Torres. Who, you know, and Jordan Montgomery, you're looking at barely $2 million for all these guys. So, I mean,
yeah,
they're in
those
a good
guys,
spot.
Judge hasn't even reached arbitration yet, has he?
No. He isn't arbitration ready until 2020.
Wow.
And, you know, to be honest, with the way Gary Sanchez is playing, he's in that same boat. You know, it'll be interesting when he gets arbitration, and by the time he's at arbitration number three, you've got to imagine he'll be gone by then with the way he's playing.
Yeah, that'll be one of the interesting things there to kind of see who, you know, who's still around. I mean, obviously being the Yankees, they don't have any problems paying these guys. So.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like I said, the way he can't just play. Are you looking to want to pay this kid? And then, you know, the details on Gleyber Torres' contract really, or his terms aren't really there. This year he's at $545. I'm assuming that's league minimum. But I didn't realize this, but he came over to the Cubs in 2012 with his $1.7 million signing bonus at age 15. So he's only 21 years old. So I don't know where we're at in this contract. It's, you know, SpotTrack gives us a lot of information. It's not locked. So I don't, you know, when it comes to the international guys, things are different.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, but yeah, it's definitely, you know, interesting. And I know Aaron Hicks is in that mix somewhere. I don't know. What his contract situation is.
Well, he's making a lot more money than all those guys. You know, he's got more money than those four combined. But he's in arbitration number two, and he got $2.825 million this year. That'll go up next year. And then, you know, depending on the 2020, he's a free agent. And I always forget this kid came up with Minnesota. So he actually played, you know, halves of three seasons with the Twins. I wish I had how he got over there. He was traded from Minnesota for John Ryan Murphy.
Oh, the catcher. Okay.
And that worked out to be a great deal for them, right?
yeah, especially considering he's playing in Arizona now.
But, you know, he's got 2016 was his best season. And like you said, with Ellsbury And even Aaron Hicks, you wonder when Clint Frazier comes up to play, you know, full time.
Yeah, and do they have Brett Gardner's contract status? How much longer is he signed for?
Oh, he's on that team too? I forgot all about him. He's making $11.5 million this year, and it looks like this is the end of his contract. One of the things for him is, I don't think it's going to happen, but if he were to get traded, he gets a $1 million bonus.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere this year. So they're pretty set there. Yeah, because he's been a long-time Yankee, and you know he's been a decent player for them, but I don't know if I would say he's been a great player. But I would be interested to see like what kind of decision they make with him in the off season.
Yeah, I think he's another one where you offer him the qualifier, and I guess you hope he turns it down, which I think he would. And then so you can get that supplemental.
Yeah. So, because, I mean, I would probably be a little surprised if he went anyplace else. I mean, depending on the offer. I mean, obviously, if you're blown out of the water by a team, you know, then you take the offer. But I just kind of think he might end up there on a – you know, he may give them the hometown discount just on a team, right?
If I were him, I would. I mean, his numbers have gone progressively down every season. You know, this season is pretty much the shortest since 2013. Granted, we haven't finished the season off yet. But, you know, he's been a major player for this team. You know, aside from his rookie, I'm assuming it's his rookie year in 2008. Hey.
What's he 30 what now? So, because I gotta figure he's got to be in his, you know, close to by now, right?
He's 34.
Yeah, so.
You know, but I mean, 10 years with the Yankees aren't bad.
Yeah. You know, and I know they made, you know, they moved some prospects around. I know they held on to Frazier because, you know, he's the guy I think everybody believes is going to be a future full-time Yankee. He's only 23. So, you know, it's not like there's a huge rush. But, yeah, I would be interested to know if he's, you know, if he could be a full-time guy. That would be nice to see. I'm sure, you know, they have their questions too. You know, and I know they like Aaron Hicks, but I don't know. I was looking at his numbers, and nothing really jumped out to me. I mean, you can talk about the home runs, but it's Yankee Stadium, and like I said before, I'm convinced Dan would hit 40 if he played 81 games there. That place is a bandbox. I mean, it's a joke when you start talking about home runs in the stadium.
You know, with the Yankees, I think they're almost kind of like in a situation where the Cubs are, where they just have too many players for too many of the same positions. And I don't think you're going to get a blow-me-away deal for Aaron Hicks, but I think he would be one of the more logical guys to try to move in the offseason and, you know, maybe get a couple kids who are, you know, looking more on the pitching side of things. A couple of kids who are, you know, in AA, ready to make it up to AAA.
Yeah, you know, then you have to wonder, you know, I know you mentioned before, you know, what is Gary Sanchez's future? You know, I know he's hurt right now, but, you know, we talked a little yesterday. He's a poor defensive catcher. You know, the thing that got him to the majors was his offense because he hits a lot of home runs. Well, this year he's even struggling. You know, he was struggling with that before he got hurt. So if you're not going to hit and you're a poor defensive catcher, you know, is his future as a catcher, do they have to, you know, I know he's played some first base, but it looks like that's Greg Bird's spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you one of them probably has to go, right? If you're going to keep one and move the other with the way things are going.
Yeah, and I have to think it's Gary Sanchez that they've really got to move away from. Because I hate to bring up like Gio Soto, which was 10 years ago now, 2008, 2009. but he really never bounced back from that. And he's been kind of the journeyman catcher going from team to team to team.
So, yeah, and, it's a tough job. I mean, I get it. You're back there all the time. It's 100 degrees and you're wearing all this gear and you're trying to hit and catch and do all this fun stuff. But, we've seen it many times. He doesn't throw out a bunch of runners and he's not great at blocking balls in the dirt, which obviously is a couple things catchers need to do. So I don't know. I mean, obviously I know everybody's excited because he hits home runs and he is a 30 to 40 homer guy if he's healthy and playing full time. But the one place I think you really need defense still in today's game is catcher, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I know that, and plus the fact that Sanchez is right-handed, they have a slew of right-handed hitters. Bird hits from the left side. So, it gives them a little bit of a contrast. And I think Bird has had more serious health concerns. It'll be interesting. And then, yeah, you mentioned pitching. I mean, they're kind of overloaded with starters as well. So I know, like, they just acquired Lynn and J.A. Hop, and I think they're in the last years of their deals. So it really shouldn't be too much of an issue at the end of the year for them, right?
No. No, and they have that that young kid that they sent back down after, I believe it was CC, came back into the roster. And where's he at? Now, I'm going to feel like you. It's Jonathan Lewisiga? Lewisiga? Lausiga?
I'm glad it's happening to you this time. No.
He only had, he went 2-0 with, I believe it was two starts, maybe a third one, I don't know, because he pitched 18 innings. But I highly doubt he went 2-9 inning games. He only, he walked 8, but he struck out 21. And, walked for 9 innings was 4. And he gave up 7.5 hits for 9 innings, but, in roughly what it looks like 3 starts. He had some pretty solid numbers.
Yeah, and they're actual top prospects who we'll probably see in September. I guess he'll get a start if you two. Is that I believe it's pronounced Justice Sheffield. I don't know if he's – I think he's related to Gary, but I don't think it's his son. I thought maybe it was his nephew, but I'm not exactly sure of that. But, yeah, he – like every top prospect, there's great buzz on him. But, yeah, he's the number one guy in their organization. So, I know the reason they haven't brought him up is he's not on their 40-man roster. And, that roster is pretty packed up. So to make a move, you have to wonder how they'll get around that. But I assume we'll see him in September for a start or two. But yeah, then I guess the next question, if you're them, Dan, what the hell do you do with Sonny Gray?
I think it was a decent move bringing him over at the time, which I think it kind of worked in that situation. He's only making $6.5 million this year at, 28 years old. Next year is his third year of arbitration. I don't know that you would get a whole lot of value trying to trade him. Yeah. And even if you did, it would, most likely be some single-A guys that may not ever play in the major league. And you can hope you can, move for something else. So I don't know. I think with Sonny Gray, you just kind of go into arbitration year number three and see what you can do.
Yeah, just kind of hope he bounces back.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you're not losing.
Maybe they could do something where, you know, if he makes, you know, say he comes out of the gate next year and he makes three or four good starts in a row, you move him.
Oh yeah, I think if they can try to move him somewhere, anywhere, prior to even June. You know, if you can get some good starts in May.
And now, do you wonder, and I know, you know, this happens to certain guys, do you think it's possible that pitching in New York is what's affected him? Because, I mean, there were times with the A's that, he looked like he was going to be a potential Cy Young contender for his career. So, what the hell happened here?
He definitely got a lot more attention.
So, yeah, you know, I just kind of, you know, because I'm trying to remember. Well, you know, I know, you know, like Randy Johnson had kind of the flame out in New York, but that was so weird it wasn't even funny. But I think it's Jack Lanky who had some issues pitching in the bigger city, and it took a little while to get over it.
Yeah, but I think the issue with Jack Lanky in L.A. was the fact that I really believe he wanted to be number one.
Well, and he hated Yasiel Puig for whatever reason. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how you hate a guy like that. He's fun to hang out with. For whatever reason, it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the difference between just the generation. You know, Frankie's not an old man per se, but he's definitely part of that older generation. You know, he's been around for a lot longer than I think we remember. And he's part of that older generation where a lot of the unwritten rules were kind of instilled with him. Speaking of Jack Greinke, I know this is way off topic, but I got a stupid minor league poster of him off of eBay for 31 cents today. It came in the mail, so I was excited about that.
Yeah, did you buy it again? Oh.
No, not for 31 cents.
Oh, okay.
My goal is to get an autograph one day.
There you go. See, that was a top for you. Minor league, what team is it?
Crap, I left it at work. I knew I forgot something. It was in the Brewers organization.
So what you're saying is you're shopping eBay at work is what you're telling us all about, right?
Yeah, actually, one of the worst things I just ordered was a stupid Gary Sheffield keychain for $1. For free, with free shipping. So I don't even know how they're making any kind of money off of this. Must have got it for free at a flea market. I don't
know. Oh, that's funny.
So, but I spent $1.31 and I got two kind of cool collectible crap that no one's ever gonna want. But hey.
Well, you know, hopefully soon you'll have a basement you can put them in.
But, yeah, well, give me two more weeks.
Yeah, that will be fun. But yeah, you know. So far, when it comes to looking at, you know, how teams did with deals, looks like something didn't do bad with Colorado, huh?
No, I mean, he's definitely a quality pitcher, but I think he's performing a lot better than I anticipated. Granted, we've only got two starts, and the real difference maker is going to be when we get to the playoffs. But I do think it was a pretty good pickup for them. He was kind of decent down there in Texas, but I just don't think for whatever reason it really worked out for him down there.
Yeah, Texas can be such a weird situation for guys You know, and I just don't know what, you know, I know it's a great hitter's park in the summertime, and I guess that just dooms a lot of guys. And, you know, he was kind of that guy.
Yeah, well, you know, and you've got to wonder if the temperature makes a difference, you know, kind of going down to that. So I don't know if it's that much different, you know, and obviously we're kind of in the same latitude with Philly in retrospect. So maybe that, you know, gives them back to similar conditions. I don't know. Sounds so stupid, but you know, you never know.
No, you know, and then I mean, you know, right out of the gate, Lance Lynn made his first start for the Yankees yesterday, and you know, a little grain of salt because, like you said, it's only two starts with Hamels, it's only one start for Lynn, and it was against the White Sox. So mm-hmm. you know, you can't, you know, jump up and down. Even like with Hamels, you know, it was the Royals he pitched against, but even so, you know, you've got to beat the teams on your schedule. So, you know, it's not their fault. This is where their turns start, and they have to pitch well to win these games, and they both did last night. So,
yeah, well, and I think even, you know, for both pitchers, when you're coming over to a new team, not only just a new team but a contending team, you know, getting these soft starts is probably just, you know, a little bit of a confidence booster. You know, it's not, you know, I think everyone forgets is it's not just about winning all the time. It's about going out there and having a great start. And it's still Major League Baseball, so while the Royals are, what did we say yesterday, like second or third worst team in baseball, anything can happen, you know. The Nationals are not in first place by 25 games, which they should be. So, you know, anything can happen in Major League Baseball, and it doesn't matter who the pitcher is and who they're pitching against. They still have to go out there and throw a quality game, and I think this is a good kind of confidence booster for them. But not only that, a great transition coming into a contending team, and, you know, it kind of takes the pressure off.
So, yeah, you know, it's obvious, you know, it's a big plus because, you know, not all these moves work out, you know. I mean, we've seen plenty of guys switch teams and just, you know, kind of go down in flames at times.
So, but, you know, I'm getting close to that break time, and I figured we can run into some FanDuel stuff. I sent you an invite. Well, let me go back to my home run derby. It's ready. Already hit. It's live. So I went with Ramirez, Cleveland, Martinez, Boston. Oh, no, that was yesterday. I was like, I didn't pick Harper today. I went with Martinez, Suarez from the Reds, and Arenado. And then I lost that other one I was in. Crap. Oh, here it is. There's this thing, you know, and I really wanted to bring this one up to you because I just thought this was interesting. It's a 50-50, which I did place last night in my 50-50. I've never won them being actually number 50, so that was kind of exciting. They have 80 extra cents in my account today. But there was this new one. I was just kind of going through them before we got on air, and I think that's why I was kind of thrown off a little bit when you first started. So it's another 50-50 contest I jumped into. But this one was different. It's a 4x4. So there's no no money. So obviously I paid $1 to get in. But you pick four pitchers and you pick four hitters. I don't know what you thought of that.
Yeah, that's different. So I'll have to look and see what they're see what it's like. I don't know how I would do it that. So, but yeah. Speaking of home run derby, I did mine. The bad news for Dan is I have Nolan Arenado in mine as well. So that's going to be a big zero for him. But I teamed him up with Gregory Polanco, and I went with Chris Davis of the Orioles. I originally had Steve Pierce, but he wasn't in the Red Sox starting lineup. So I'm going with Chris Davis, and hopefully hopefully I get something out of this tonight. I was kind of looking, kind of factoring in the Mr. Fantasy strategy, with the exception, obviously, of Arenado. And I'm trying to come up with guys that I don't think anybody else will use that will hit home runs, or I should say very few people will use that can hit home runs. So we'll have to see how that worked out. But yeah, I managed to win $2.50 last night on my dollar. So that was a big plus, mostly because of Trevor Bauer's effort as a pitcher last night. He didn't rack up a ton of innings, but he ended up striking out 10, and then in the end he got the win. So those are kind of the categories you need there when it comes to that. You need the numbers and the winning, and that worked out. So hopefully tonight I can get another something or other going on, and we'll see how it works out. But it's one of those weird things. I haven't had the best of luck with FanDuel this year, but I guess I'm doing okay. So we'll have to see how it goes. I just realized they sent me a free roll, but I don't know. It looks like, yeah, I got my Players Club free roll. I didn't even realize I was in the Players Club, but it looks like it's for tomorrow. So, let's 23 hours and 52 minutes. So I have some time to take care of this one, so I don't have to worry about it right now. But I did piece a lineup together for tonight. I know, like Dan said, it did go live, but you can still jump in and make your changes. And tonight I went with I've been spending money on pitching lately, but tonight I went with Chase Anderson, who was down at 7,600. He's home and he's pitching against San Diego, so I thought that was a pretty good combo to save some money there. And then as I move along here, I've been reading a lot that for whatever reason all the baseball sites, the fantasy baseball sites really like Ryan Healy, and I don't know if it's the price tag or what it is, but this is actually the third day in a row I've plugged him into my lineup. He's just sitting there at $2,300, so I guess I'll just keep plugging him in as long as it goes on. I got Brock Holt at second base for $2,100. Spent some money on Jose Ramirez at third base. He was $5,300. I think he's the most expensive position player. Chris Taylor at shortstop for $2,600. Then I spent some money in the outfield. I went with Mookie Betts for $4,800, Starling Marte for $4,000, and Gregory Polanco for $3,900. So I'm really invested in Polanco tonight. I got him in my home run derby and my regular lineup, which is probably bad for me. And then last but not least, my utility guy is Devon Travis. I only had $2,400 left, and I like the fact that he was batting second for the Blue Jays tonight. So I'm hoping to get multiple at-bats out of him, and a 2-for-5 night would be fantastic at that price. So I'm hoping it works out. But yeah, real quick again, I got Chase Anderson as my pitcher, Ryan Healy at the catcher first base slot, Brock Holt at second, Jose Ramirez at short, Chris Taylor at short, Mookie Betts, Starling Marte, and Gregory Polanco are my outfield, and then Devon Travis is my utility guy. Like I said, the league did just start, so I have no point at this point in time. But it did just start, and you can make your late changes if you have to. So good luck, and hopefully it works out. I think the only game I saw with rain in the forecast was here in Chicago, so I'm hoping weather's not an issue in too many places. Cool. So we'll have to see how it, how it goes or how it works out. But those are your, that's what I went with. So you may want to go a completely different way, because like I said, I have had issues this year. It's been kind of a freaky year. It seems like when I win consistently, and then when I lose, I go on long droughts of losing. So it's just weird like that. But besides daily, you know, if you're a yearly guy, and I don't know how many people had these guys locked in, but you know, I mentioned a couple games earlier. Jeffrey Rodriguez got a win if you picked him up as the national starter. I know Max Fried made that start for Atlanta in that game, but he was gone early. He got hurt. Kobe Aldred ended up taking the loss. The Astros did hang on to beat the Giants 2-1. Joe Smith got the win out of the bullpen. It was Ray Black who gave up those runs. I thought it was Ty Black, but it was Ray Black. He got the loss for the Giants. I almost said 49ers because I hear him talking about football in the other room. And Hector Rondon did pick up another save for the Astros. So we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, you know, fantasy-wise, some of the, you know, kind of under-the-radar guys that are on the mound tonight. I mean, obviously you got Max Scherzer, you know, if you want to spend that money, or if you did, Carlos Carrasco is out there. You know, I went with Chase Anderson, but one of the other guys who's kind of under the radar that I read good things about today was a dance guy, Andrew Heaney. He's making the start at home for the Angels against the Tigers. I want to say the Tigers have been scuffling a little bit of late. I know Nicholas Castellanos has, because I have him in a fantasy league. He did finally homer last night, but he was just 1-for-4. So let me see if I can get the Tigers record here real quick these last few games. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, teams do kind of scuffle out west. Yeah, the Tigers are actually on a 4-game losing streak, and they've won 4 of their last 10. So, you know, it might be the night Heaney's able to, you know, kind of shut them down. And then, you know, the one guy I was a little weary of, I should say, a lot of big positives for Rich Hill. You know, he's always an expensive play on FanDuel. I don't know how he is on some of the other daily sites, but there were some really good ratings for him. But, man, he's pitching against the A's, and at this point in time, I know somebody's going to beat the A's somewhere down the road, but you know, they've won their last 6 in a row. They're 7-3 over their last 10. I don't think I want to match up any pitcher against the A's right now. It just seems like it's just a bad matchup no matter who it is. And, you know, like I know it'll be interesting tomorrow because, you know, it's Rich Hill tonight and then Clayton Kershaw tomorrow. You know, Kershaw's usually a good bet against everybody, but, you know, the A's have just been so weird. You know, are they sneaky good enough right now to beat him? So, you know, that's another thing I might just – as much as I like Kershaw, but again, another guy who's really expensive, I may end up staying away from it tomorrow, even though it's a, you know, could be a weird move.
And that'll be the 75 points.
Of course, that's about always worth. You know, hopefully there's some other good matchups out there. You know, I haven't looked at much of tomorrow yet. You know, obviously because I was still fiddling around with today. But I do see just a quick look. Jacob DeGrom is pitching. Chris Archer makes another start for the Pirates. So there will be some guys. Dan's guy Jake Odorizzi is pitching tomorrow. So there'll be plenty of guys to jump on besides Kershaw if you want to go that route.
And Ali, so, Jameson Taillon is pitching for the Rays tonight. It's going to take me a while, I think, to get used to Archer on the Pirates. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
And that 4x4 league I sent you, I couldn't find my roster because I never submitted it. So then it went live, and I'll have to try it again tomorrow.
Yeah, humorously, Taillon is pitching against Chad Bettis tonight. And I guess you can say humorously because they both beat it. But it's two guys who actually had testicular cancer and basically won. They got, you know, they got it cleared up for them. It went away. You know, whatever they had done took care of it. So,
well, good for both of them.
Yeah. But, yeah, and they just happen to be pitching against each other tonight. So that's kind of odd. I'm assuming the odds of that aren't very good. I don't think there's too many guys hanging around who have went through that. So, you know, just the odd things I come across that I find, I don't know if I want to say interesting or just strange. So,
hey, well, you know, I was at a Cubs game where a Micah hit a home run against a Micah. That's never happened. One of the oddest ones I've ever heard.
Probably will ever happen again.
Yeah. It was one of those oddest, you know, I remember the next day, I don't even know how that came up, but yeah, was that, I think it was a Cubs-Reds game back in 08, 09, maybe 2010. One of them silly little baseball things.
So, yeah, and then, you know, I had to ask you. Now, I didn't see this because I was in bed, but did you stay up to see Ronda Rousey's first match on Raw last night?
I don't even know what channel it's on, and I have not tuned in to the WWE for probably since we started this podcast.
So, yeah, I, you know, like I'll click by it when I'm flipping channels, but I don't think I've watched more than 5 minutes of it, and I don't know how long. I just know they it was a big selling point online, you know, that she was having her first match. So I'm guessing it she seems to have helped the ratings. I see a lot more talk about them now that she now that she's there. I'm a little surprised that she's kind of turned things around like that. Have you noticed, you know, their name pop up a little more with her in it?
Not really, to be honest, but I think when we talked about this before, I think it's a good stepping stone, I guess you could say, because nobody goes from UFC to Hollywood. You know, the next route is WWE. If you're in the UFC, to make it to Hollywood. And, I mean, let's be honest, the way the WWE is now, I don't have to watch it to know, but there's not a whole lot of wrestling going on, especially on the weekly televised events. I don't know the programming. I don't know about the pay-per-views, if there's a little bit more wrestling going on, but having been involved with wrestling myself and not really being an official ring agent, you know, but having put together matches for newbies, when you do it in a really controlled environment like Raw and the segment, you know, TV segments generally like 12 minutes long, and with their matches, they're not going more than, you know, 6 minutes. So I think with that environment, it should turn out pretty well for her. I mean, obviously you and I both know when it comes to WWE and pro wrestling, if you can bump, you know, and it looks good, then I think everything will turn out fairly well, you know, depending on your opponent.
As weird as it sounds, I think the last thing that WWE actually looks for in a wrestler now is actual wrestling ability, because
yeah.
I think they're under the impression that they can train anybody they need to train their way. So, you know, especially somebody like her who has, while she has wrestling experience, it's not professional wrestling experience.
No,
but, yeah, I mean, she's been a fantastic signing for them, especially since it looks like Brock Lesnar is going to be out the door. I know his contract is coming due, and it appears that he's, unless they give him an even better deal than what he's got now, and I know he doesn't work for any dates for them as it is, he's probably going back to UFC, you know, as a full-time UFC fighter. So, you know, she'll have the void there to fill. So that it'll be interesting to see how they kind of handle that. But yeah, just kind of, I saw it online. That's why I meant to ask you about it, or I did ask you about it, because it was a big deal online. You know, it's on like all the sites, you know, like your Bink has it in one of the headlines, and you know, Yahoo's running it out there, and I think your other favorite site, TMZ, has covered it.
Well, if they covered it, you know it's big.
Yeah.
One of the things with her, though, is her story, post-UFC, didn't really take, you know, while it was kind of down, and I think what you got out of her was more raw emotion about, you know, because, I mean, essentially she was at the bottom of the hill, or however you want to put it, and there was nowhere to go but up for her. And I think everyone knew her UFC career was over, but she still had that name value, and I think that's why it'll work great for the WWE. And then, you know, within 3 to 7 years, we're going to see her in some kind of blockbuster movie. But speaking of that transition into blockbuster movies, I did see this one I wanted to ask you about, and this pertains to Bautista and the also famous Guardians of the Galaxy. And, you know, I don't know if you've been following, but the writer, producer, director, I forgot what the guy, he did something allegations, and he's been taken off the movie. And, you know, Bautista went out there and said that if they don't use the script for number 3, he's out. Now, what I wanted to ask you, Big Jack, has Bautista really made that big of a name for himself in Hollywood to put something out there like that? Because if I'm, you know, Marvel Studios or Disney or whoever's running the show, do I even care? Am I like, oh, you want to throw that ultimatum at us? Well, goodbye. See you later.
I know he's been in a lot of stuff, but I don't know if he's a star. Just looking at it here, you know, he had that Hotel Armitage, but he was a co-star in that. Jodie Foster was the star. Now he's got a bunch of stuff here on his IMDb page. Escape Plan 2, which is with Sylvester Stallone. I think that went straight to DVD. Now here, just this stuff that just got coming out right now. Final Score, Masters Z. It's IP Man Legacy. He'll be in the next Avengers movie, and then he's got something called Stuber, and then there's another Escape Plan movie. Believe it or not, they're making a third one. And then the final one on the top of his credits, Dan, here, he's got 61 credits he's been in. The Untitled Dave Bautista Project. I don't know what the hell that is. So,
I'm not saying he's not getting the work. He's, you know, putting it in. But if Dave Bautista tells you, we're not going to use this script, or I'm leaving, if Chris Pratt says it, I think you might listen a little more. You know, that's why I just, you know, Bautista may have rubbed elbows with everybody, but I don't think anyone's trying to rub elbows with him, you know, to boost their careers, I guess, where I'm going with it.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, you need to be, you know, I think you would need to be Chris Pratt's friend more than Dave Bautista's friend to kind of get something across. But,
yeah.
You know, and the sad part is I don't know how difficult, I don't think it would be really difficult to recast that role, would it?
No, especially with CGI.
Of
course, I'm radio.